Hello, this is Universal Soul Love.
This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome
to
our
show. And today we are recording this show live from Mount Shasta, where we've been for the past week. Mount Shasta is, of course, a most wonderful spiritual place, most incredible mountain, and most incredible vibration out here.
Very beautiful here. So excited to be here.
And we are so lucky today to have a special guest on our show, world-renowned author and receiver of messages.
From inner earth.
Diane Robbins. Diane has written many books, including Telos, Messages from Hollow Earth, Messages from the Crystal Kingdom, The Call Goes Out, Messages from the Cetacean Nation, Dolphins and Whales, and Tree Talk. And I think we're very, very fortunate to be able to talk to Diane today. Welcome to our show, Diane.
Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm just delighted to be on your show and delighted that you are here in Mount Shasta.
We're so excited to be here. You know, Mount Shasta is such a special place. You can feel the vibration being higher.
And the clouds are just amazing. I've never seen anything like it. These incredible clouds everywhere. They're just so unusual, but I guess they're very typical here.
They are called lenticular clouds. And the lenticular clouds are actually camouflages for spacecraft going in and out of the subterranean city of Telos, located inside the mountain, where the people receive supplies from the inner earth. And what they have is also transported into the inner earth. So these lenticular clouds camouflage the starships so they cannot be seen by people. And they're beautiful lenticular clouds.
They are amazing. In fact, they actually look like starships themselves.
They do.
Round and
they do.
Tell us, Diane, why do people come to Mount Shasta?
Well, the mountain of Mount Shasta in Northern California is a sacred mountain, and it carries the energy of the mother's love. It is heart energy. It's divine feminine. It's the energy of home. The hearts of people all over the world are now opening, and people are waking up and they're searching for home. And the mountain is sending out a call all over the earth, and the people whose hearts are opening are hearing the call and being drawn to Mount Shasta because the mountain is calling them home, home to their hearts.
And in fact, Lana and I, we've been having this synchronicity for my own higher self, higher power to come to Mount Shasta for quite a while now. I had received some messages from one of my own guides and my higher self to come here. And we're finally here. We had our spiritual retreat. And it's just amazing how the universe works. And we're meeting up with Diane now. We've had this interest in Hollow Earth for quite a while now. And I don't even know how it originally came up for us, maybe more than a year ago. It's how strange how life works and how the universe works, but it's just amazing.
It is indeed. And I would love you to tell us a little bit about your books and the mysteries, unveil some of the mysteries to us about what you have written in your books.
All right, I would be happy to do that. I'd like to start by telling you that there's a reason for physical embodiment. People are starting to wake up. Why am I here? Who am I? What did I come to do? That's the awakening. And the purpose of physical embodiment is ascension. Ascension is to raise our body into the electronic body of our I Am presence. And some of you may be familiar with the chart from the I Am activity of our I Am presence. And we actually are the outer self, the physical part of our I Am presence. And when we wake up And we open our hearts to love, and the density and fear and anger is removed from our physical body. The body begins to rise, and ascension begins. And this is our destiny, to free ourselves from density, fear, anger, competition, to connect with our I Am presence, the electronic body of the God Self above us that you see in charts from the I Am activity that Saint Germain brought to the earth in 1930. Discord weighs down our body.
That's for sure.
Joy, harmony, and peace will raise it. The discord is what is keeping us here, embodiment after embodiment. So that's what we're here to do, and that's what the awakening, and that's what the awakening does. You see, our body, our I Am presence is an electronic body. People, all our ascended masters, people who ascend, take on their electronic body. When you're in an electronic body, you can go anywhere in our universe.
Diane, can I ask you, by electronic body, do you sort of mean our ethereal body, our non-physical body?
No, our body now is composed of atoms. We are an atomic body. It is composed of atoms. When we start raising our consciousness and filling our lives and our feelings and our heart with love, the electrons have been asleep in our physical body. Mm. The electrons will wake up. The atoms will be no more. And when all the electrons are enough electrons in our body, are carrying enough light, enough love, they will move us into our electronic body, and that is the ascension. We raise our body into the electronic body. We're no longer atomic. We need the atomic body to move about on Earth because it's a third-dimensional dense planet. Mm.
So I guess maybe that's the difference between – the way I relate to that is by thinking about it as the difference between those who are awakened and those who are still sleeping, or sleepers maybe.
Yes, people who are waking up, more of their electrons are waking up with them.
Okay, so what you're actually talking about is a change in the physicality of our body.
It's a change in the molecular structure of our body, changing from atomic to electron, electronic, and that's what the ascension is. We move up into our I Am presence.
That is amazing.
Yes, and our I Am presence is connected to us through our pineal gland and our heart.
And what happens when people ascend? Do they feel lighter? Can you still see people that ascend? Because I've heard of the fourth and fifth dimensions, and I've heard that sometimes you can't see people in that dimension.
Once you have made your ascension, you go to either two places. You go either to Shambhala, which is in the fourth octave above the Sahara Desert.
Okay.
And you study with the Ascended Masters and you learn all the Ascended Master teachings. The Ascended Master teachings are the truths of life. They are the laws of life. In order to evolve, we have to know spiritual truths, and we have to know the laws of life that govern our universe. And these are found in the Ascended Master teachings through the Saint Germain I Am activity books and through the Radiant Rose Academy in Vancouver, Canada. So if we make our ascension and we still have not learned all of the Ascended Master teachings, we are taken by angels to Shambhala, where we study until we know we've learned all the Ascended Master teachings. Then we make our ascension and go into the fifth dimension, where other people from Earth have ascended. And this is other people from Earth who have ascended. This is composes our spiritual hierarchy that governs the Earth. However, not enough people from Earth have made their ascension. So we have beings from other star systems and galaxies who have made their ascension, standing in and are part of our spiritual hierarchy until there are enough of us from Earth.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's just amazing. It sounds like there's a lot of beings dedicated to our ascension, and yet mankind continues to have wars and to ravage the Earth. It's so sad. Do you think there's any hope for humanity, Diane?
There comes the big question.
That's quite a good lead-in for the for the seventh golden crystal age.
Can't wait to hear this. I have heard it already. We've had an interesting discussion about this, but
we are now in the seventh golden crystal age on Earth, and excuse me for one moment. We are now in the seventh golden crystal age that began on December 21st, 2012. That was the significance of that date, because there were six golden previous ages that failed throughout the past 12.5 million years that we have been on Earth trying to make our ascension. The people on Earth are beginning to awaken and are searching for answers. And this awakening is bringing up questions such as, who am I? Why am I here on Earth? What am I supposed to be doing? This is what the awakening is. So the seventh golden crystal age on Earth is the last golden age our spiritual hierarchy is giving us. We've already failed six times to wake up to the God selves that we are. We were only being given 10,000 more years. And these are going to be the 10,000 years of peace. People who wake up, they start remembering who they are. They turn to love. They open their hearts. They raise their consciousness. They help other people. They help the Earth. They connect with all the nature kingdoms. Will make their ascension along with the Earth. People who do not, who are bent on destroying the Earth, the nature kingdoms, will be removed. They will either be put in compounds in the fifth dimension until they wake up, or they will be removed to another third dense planet.
Well, that sounds like a great idea.
That's a really good divine plan, I think.
That is the divine plan. And you know that divine plan was 70,000 years in the making.
Really? Okay.
It's taken the past 70,000 years.
I didn't know that.
It sounds like the divine masters are getting a bit desperate and removing those that don't ascend. Sounds like this time we can't fail.
We cannot fail, because all the people, all the beings on the planets in our solar system have been ascended for millions and millions of years, and they are waiting for us. They cannot move higher. They cannot move out of this solar system into a higher air, into a higher area without us. In a solar system, all planets in a solar system ascend together. They have been waiting for us.
Oh my God, so we've actually kept them waiting.
Wow. We have held back our whole solar system.
Wow.
We were supposed to move into another area of our galaxy of a higher frequency, and we've held back our whole solar system. Now we have beings here from all over our universe who have volunteered to come and help us.
And we know this is true. We have them on our show. I believe that, Lana, it doesn't matter, but
I'm wondering, Diane, whether you could tell us about some of the beings that you, I think you use the word receive rather than channel, but I believe that you have been in, well, that Adama and Saint Germain and Jesus have been talking to you for many, many years. Wondering whether you could tell us a bit about that and what beings, how many beings you are connected with?
Well, actually, all of us are connected to everyone. We're just not aware of it. But
that's right.
But to answer your question, everyone on Earth is connected, but they have lost the connection in their hearts because this race, the human race, feels has separated itself from all of life, from the nature kingdoms and the powers of on the forces of the elements. And actually, we are not humans. That's a name that we took when we fell from grace, when we disconnected ourselves from God, our I Am presence. We're actually called the I Am race. Mm-hmm. Saint Germain brought that information to us, and Saint Germain named America, America. It's the letters in the word America are an anagram for I Am race, hoping people would start remembering and make the connection. You take those letters, they will spell America, and they will spell I Am race. So in about 1990, I started receiving messages from Jesus who would dictate to me, and I would write them down. And then along with that, one day I was sitting in my living room in Upper New York State, and Adama, who is the high priest and ascended master of Telos, contacted me and asked if I would take his messages. And I said yes.
Sorry, could you explain to our audience what Telos is?
Yes. Telos is a subterranean city located inside the mountain of Mount Shasta. At one time, when Atlantis and Lemuria were the continents were still on our planet before the Atlantean and Lemurian War, the whole of California was named Telos. Telos means communication with spirit. So the Atlantean Lemurian War, the people on the continent of Lemuria in the Pacific Ocean knew their continent was going to sink. So they met with the spiritual hierarchy of our planet, and the spiritual hierarchy of our planet directed them through the underground tunnel system. There's an underground tunnel system that has existed in the earth for millions of years. They directed them into an empty cavern inside the mountain of Mount Shasta. And before Lemuria sank, they started bringing all their records, all their technology, to preserve them into the cavern inside Mount Shasta in California. So when Lemuria finally sank, they had hoped to save 25 million people, millions. And they only were able to save, I think it was 25,000 people. So these are the people living inside the mountain of Mount Shasta. They are the Lemurians. And by living in peace and harmony and cooperation, they have gained their immortality. They're not ascended. They gained their immortality.
A lot of people around Mount Shasta have stories of seeing Lemurians who I believe are quite tall and blonde and blue-eyed. Is that likely that they are seeing them?
Could be. It could be. It could be. I know 30 to 50 years ago, people saw, they came out of the mountain and would purchase things with gold nuggets and go into the shops here. I don't think they have been coming out. I have not seen any, but it could be that they are.
I know that David and I were intent on the adventure of finding a way to Telos, and we kept looking around for cracks in the rocks and other things, other ways of getting into Mount Shasta.
Having our fun.
And in the end, we, in the group that we were with, we had a, I guess, a,
spiritual experience, maybe?
Yeah, we were taken on a guided journey, and I actually saw crystal caves and in my imagination, or perhaps my spiritual body traveled there. It was very beautiful. Yeah,
this was with the hypnotist David Quigley with the Alchemy Institute in California. We spent a week here with a wonderful group all week, doing all kinds of spiritual work and just and having a really good time. So just to clarify that.
But obviously, you know, somewhere we would love to actually see it. Tell us, Diane, how does one get to Telos? Is it possible?
You get to Telos through the pages of my Telos book, obviously.
Please tell us about that.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yes, there are a lot of openings to get into the mountain, but they're all camouflaged.
I thought so.
Yes, and lots of people with their inner sight can see the openings, but they'll also see that there's a guard there or they're totally closed off.
Yes, that's
so right. In about 1990, Adama came to me and asked if I would take his messages. I was living in New York State, and I said yes, and that's how it started. He would dictate to me one or two times a week. I would write down his words, word for word, and I never changed a word. And the only thing I would do is after I received the message would put in the punctuation in paragraphs. Because if you change the sentence structure of an ascended master, you change their vibration. And then you cannot, it's harder for you to connect with them because you're not picking up their precise vibration. So my book of messages from Telos is about life inside Telos is inside the mountain of Mount Shasta. Their hydroponics, their technology, their justice system, how they cooperate on everything. There's no such thing as competition. They have no word for sickness, aging, or death. It just does not exist for them because they've gained their immortality by living in peace.
Very different from the spiritual community and humanity where there's quite a bit of competition. I've experienced it.
Yes, there is quite a bit of competition.
We're very splintered.
Yes. In fact, there's a woman named Sharula in 1988 who was an ambassador from Telos, and she came to Mount Shasta out of the tunnels. And she lived here for 5 years and had many workshops, and many people here know her and met her. And while she was here, I was fortunate enough to connect with her and talk to her over the phone when I lived in New York. And if you go to my website, which is www.dianerobbins.com, and you scroll down, you will see an audio called Secrets of the Subterranean Cities. These are Sharula's own words, where she talks about life inside Telos. It's information that's not in my books. It's amazing information, and you will hear her voice.
And would you like to give your websites as well?
It's www.dianerobbins.com. Diane has two N's. Robbins has two B's. Thank you for asking.
Fantastic. And people can go to those websites, get information, and order your books?
Yes, and people can go to my website. You'll see all my books. You can order them all. And you can scroll down, and you can find Secrets of the Subterranean Cities.
And I just want to mention, do you run Hollow Earth Network as well?
No, I'm not affiliated with Hollow Earth Network, except the people who run Hollow Earth Network have read my book, Messages from the Hollow Earth, many, many times and have talked about it, and they have all my books. They're big fans of mine.
Okay, great. And just before we go to break, I had a thought a while back. You know, I'm really impressed that the message that you were giving about the ascension, it's really good news. Because I'm just, so many people are concerned about, you know, what's happening in the world and with the climate change and the global economy and global warfare, et cetera. So I think that'll be a nice lead in to our next conversation, maybe. Because I know that for me, it's different for me because I channel, and I don't like the word channel, but I get messages from my higher power or higher self, but it's just mainly for me. Whereas your information, Diane, is just directly received, as you said, and it's word for word and it's unadulterated. So my information that I get, it's more like divine inspiration for my writings, and it's mainly for me. And I don't, even though I can channel spirits and other beings, that information is generally for me because it's coming through my human filters and my human perception. So it's useful for me, my intuitive messages. But you know what Diane's getting is much more clear, I think, for sure. So thank you for that.
And it's such good news for humanity. If only humanity would follow. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And this is Dr. Lana Love. Welcome to our show again after our break. And we are, of course, doing our show live from Mount Shasta.
Live. And that is a real treat for us. We're very privileged. And we're very privileged to have our special guest here with us, author Diane Robbins, who's who receives messages from Inner Earth and from Mother Nature. And we're just very, very honored, Diane. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's my divine pleasure to be here.
I don't think, Diane, I've met anyone who has channeled or received so many messages from so many divine masters. You are a really special person.
Why, thank you. And you know, it just happened. I never thought of becoming a writer. The Nature Kingdoms and Adama and the Hollow Earth contacted me, and it just unfolded.
It's just amazing. And I know that you'd like to talk about how interconnected everything is. And, of course, your books are on so many different subjects, but they themselves are interconnected, aren't they?
I can lead into that just by saying I never thought of being a writer either. My first book was exactly what we're about to talk about, which is just the oneness of consciousness. My book, Illusion of the Body, that was my first revelation. It was about a philosophy called panpsychism, which is that all things have consciousness, and I can't define that. Of mysticism is for me is the study of consciousness for me, and still having unable to do that. I think people have been trying to define consciousness for forever since we've been on the planet. So I'm not going to profess to just what I've written is what I've written, but I'd love to hear what you have to say about this, Diane.
The people on Earth disconnected from all life on Earth. They disconnected from the nature kingdoms, from the people living inside the hollow Earth. And my books are about the interconnectedness of all life and how all of the nature kingdom are interconnected and in telepathic contact and communication with each other. We are the only ones left out of this telepathic link. And that's why we have just about destroyed the planet. So I'd like to talk about my book, Messages from the Hollow Earth. Messages from the Hollow Earth. And this book was dictated to me by the head librarian of the Library of Porthologos, located in the very center of our Earth. Our Earth is hollow. There are openings at the North and South Pole. And after you go down about 800 miles, you come into this vast cavern with oceans and mountains and a central sun. And it's still in its pristine state. And the openings at the North and South Pole are for spaceships to go in and out, to carry supplies to subterranean cities. There are over 120 subterranean cities located 1 to 5 miles beneath the surface of the earth and scattered around the earth. Telos is one of those subterranean cities. The whole 120 subterranean cities are called the Agartha Network. A great being by the name of Mikos, M-I-K-O-S, is the head librarian of this library, the Library of Porthologos in the center of the earth, and it's a portal, Porthologos. People from all over our galaxy go in to the library, and you stand in one of the portals, and whatever thought you have, wherever you want to go in our universe, you're instantly there. So it's called the Library of Porthologos. The Library of Porthologos holds the records of the Earth, our solar system, and our whole universe on crystal slides.
Can I ask, Diane, is that similar to the Akashic records?
No, actually, the Akashic records is a misnomer, and it was to purposely lead the New Age community off path. The Akashic record is the personal divine plan we each have for our life. The etheric record is the recorder. All of life's events are captured and recorded in the ethers surrounding the earth. So it's the etheric record. You see, there are many misnomers planted into the New Age community so that we do not find our way.
For sure, yeah. There's a lot of deception and disinformation. I got that too at one point. I said the Akashic Records is, you can access that from anywhere. I mean, it's contained in everything. Is that right? And
it's a divine plan we each have for our life. Maybe you're thinking of the Flower of Life blueprint, which goes through all interstellar space, goes through everything. That's how sometimes you say, oh, this just happened out of the blue. No, we and all life are connected through the Flower of Life blueprint.
Yes.
So that everyone, the higher beings know where we each are at all times. So back to the Hollow Earth. All the events of Earth, our solar system, have been recorded on crystal slides, I think, or crystal plates. And people from all over come to the Earth. They go into the Library of Porthologos, and they go into the library, and they ask for what event they wanted, maybe the Declaration of Independence, maybe something 1,000 years ago, maybe Jesus's resurrection and ascension. They sit down at the projector, and it's played live. You see all events live. There are no dead books on their shelves. Everything is live, which is the purpose of a library. The purpose of a library is to help planets solve problems and not make mistakes. That's the purpose of a library. And we don't have that purpose on Earth. In our library, we don't know how other planets have made the same mistakes we have and how they solved it because we don't have the records.
At one point, I had this vision, I don't know how to say it, but I had this thought that I think what you were saying was everything was recorded. It was almost like a video camera in everything. The leaf blowing in the wind 1,000 years ago is recorded like a video camera.
Exactly.
And available.
And that brings us to the tree people who also asked me to give them a voice. The tree, the leaves on trees are recording devices. If you stand by a tree or walk past it, they will record your feelings, everything you say, every nuance of speech. They hold the records of the earth also.
Oops, it sounds like we should be careful what we say in front of a tree.
Well, we should be careful what we think so we're not mental polluters.
Exactly. Exactly. They are very evolved beings. If you have a question, you can stand by a tree, hug a tree, hold a tree, sit by a tree, ask it a question. and pour your love to it. They will answer your question. They are fully conscious. Mm. They are connected to all the other nature kingdoms. The trees know everything that's going to happen on the earth within a second of its happening. Mm. The trees all over the planet know. They're in direct communication.
And that's true. That was one of my first revelations. When I once touched a tree, I saw the tree in my mind, and I was with it, and I could see the tree reaching up, not just into the ground, but into the universe, into the sky, I mean, and I could see the energy above it, and it looked like it was not so concerned about what was happening around it, although it was certainly aware of me and everything, but it was having this relationship with the universe or the creator. And it was just amazing. It was an amazing revelation for me to realize. And that led into this idea of oneness of consciousness for me. And it just kept developing for me. So
we know from The Secret Life of Plants, which is a book about trees and plant consciousness, they have actually done scientific experiments that have proven that plants have reactions to our thoughts and seem to have consciousness. And certainly here in Mount Shasta, I was struck by the majesty of the trees, and there was a sense of being in the presence of conscious beings.
They had this sovereignty to them. And when we were walking on Mount Shasta with hypnotist David Quigley a couple days ago, we had this, he made a statement. He goes, it's like these magnificent trees had this cathedral of power, presence, and amazing words.
So you've also written a book on crystals. And I know that David in his book talks about the fact that even entities such as rocks that we would never think have consciousness do. And so in your book, I think you talk about messages from crystals. Is that right?
Yes. The crystals also asked me to give them a voice. And the crystals are extremely evolved beings, and they once powered the whole planet during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. And Atlantis misused crystal power, which caused the thermonuclear war that sank both continents. So the crystals went underground so that we could not misuse their power. They are all underground, all the huge ones. Mm. Until the planet returns to peace, they will come back up and power the planet again and give us all the free energy that we need. They also are so evolved, connected to all the other kingdoms, and they call themselves people. Mm. They live in communities. Mm. They can go anywhere they want to in their mind. They know everything that's happening on the earth, and they tell all about their family life and how they can help us, and the importance of carrying crystals on us, having crystals in our home. And this is just a really amazing book about crystals.
That just blows me away, the idea that crystals are, in fact, living beings.
That's even more information than I received. There's an old philosophical debate that do rocks have thoughts and feelings? And, you know, I knew that inanimate objects had some level of consciousness and intelligence, but I didn't realize the extent of it.
All elements that compose everything has a certain degree of consciousness.
I'm just amazed by how much we don't know.
Yes.
And also, you have written a book about the dolphins and the whales.
Yes, the dolphins and the whales and the porpoises are very, very evolved. And
I believe your book is called The Call Goes Out from the Cetacean Nation.
That's correct. And I even received messages from Keiko, star of the Free Willy movies while he was still incarcerated.
Oh, really?
And he actually was an ambassador to the Cetacean Kingdom. And his messages are just amazing. There are also messages from incarcerated whales in SeaWorld in San Diego and in the Miami, Florida Sea Aquarium. Mm. And messages from whales, dolphins, porpoises, swimming free in the oceans, and they talk about their family life, how closely knit they are in their families, how they know where each of their pod is at any time, how they know everything going on the planet, how they sustain and support the biosphere of the planet with their songs. And they say that if we lose a species, we lose part of our biosphere. Mm-hmm. Our biosphere is made up of each species. We lose enough species, we lose our biosphere, and then we lose the Earth.
And that makes sense. And I guess that'll certainly, I'm sure the activists in our audience will certainly be, can relate to what you're saying about that. And we do have a lot of activists. And so that's a really important message for us to hear. And thank you for that, Diane.
It's certainly a message of humility and respect for all life around us. Yes. And I know that David and I have been vegan for some time out of respect to the animals. And I know lots of vegan friends of ours have rallied, against SeaWorld and against zoos and to change that culture from one of exploitation. I think we have some success, but I think we've got a long way to go.
And hence, this is why I once received a message from a source which came to me many years ago at the beginning of the sort of the high point of my awakening that talked about the end of the human experiment, quote unquote. I don't like to put huge definitions on this stuff because my interpretation of this is sort of very limited. But Diane was talking about this earlier and the divine plan, which was very interesting. And I just wanted to comment on that. I meant to comment on that after coming back from the break very quickly, that it's a great divine plan. It's a fantastic divine plan that's going to work very well. But maybe better for some than others who aren't listening in and who aren't awakening. So, but at least we all have a choice, and that's what's important, the free will.
And that is fantastic, that we have a responsibility then to do the right thing and to do our best to ascend, I guess. What message would you like to give our listeners in the last few minutes then?
I would just like to say that the importance of life is to connect with all of nature kingdoms. The importance of life is to be connected, not disconnected. Once we connect with all of nature kingdoms, they will help us raise our consciousness. In fact, that's what my books tell us. They tell us how to connect with them. And once we're connected, we receive all their achievements. Everything that they've achieved, we also will achieve. So how much time do we have left?
I think we have another 5 minutes or so.
May I just say one thing?
Absolutely.
That we lost three continents, Atlantis, Lemuria, and the continent of Pan. Pan was a continent. Peter Pan is king of the elemental kingdom.
Oh. Really?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a Pan that was I can't remember at the moment, but yeah.
It was a whole continent. Wow.
A whole continent. It was taken down into Middle Earth because people started killing people and started killing the elemental kingdom, the mermaids, the hobbits, the dwarfs, the gnomes. And in my crystal book, there are poems from the elemental kingdom that tells who they are and what happened and how to connect with them also. And as soon as there's peace on the planet, the continent will be brought back up to the surface and the elementals will start working with us again. They were here to help us and we killed them. So we've lost three continents. All three will be restored in the next 10,000 years of peace.
Well, that's very exciting, and it's just so wonderful to know that these myths of magical people and magical creatures are in fact real. And Peter Pan actually existed. That's amazing.
I don't know. It just came to me that there was a sort of a just can't remember at the minute, but there was a nature demigod of some sort named Pan, a goat. I just can't, you know, my mythology isn't coming to me at the moment, but yeah, but I think there's probably some, you know, our whole history, written history is so disconnected, and there's just little pieces, and it's very interpreted and so much left out. But I, you know, when people go back, they start tracing everything and they see how they start to see the truth and the relationships between what was written. And, you know, it's just interesting.
So it's very exciting, exhilarating, the messages that you've got in your book. Of course, your website is www.dianerobbins, that's DianeRobbins, RobbinsRobbins.com. And people can order your books, and the messages are wonderful. And it certainly sounds like we have a responsibility to ascend, not just for ourselves, but the rest of the kingdom, the rest of the planet, the rest of the solar system.
The collective consciousness, the planetary consciousness, yes. and the universal consciousness, the oneness.
And the message is just to basically open up and connect.
For us.
That's the message. Connect with all the nature kingdoms, with all life, with the crystals, the rocks.
Mm. Yeah, I was just going to say, I just wrote down what you just said, which was, I thought it simple but profound, and sometimes the simplest messages are the most profound, that life is about being connected, not disconnected from everything else.
That is the message, to be connected, the interconnectedness of life, and to be connected.
What a beautiful message. Thank you so much, Diane, for being on our show. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. And yes. It's just wonderful interview.
It's just so wonderful to do this interview live in Mount Shasta.
It's magical. We've covered so much ground. I think we've just gotten so much in. This was a really fantastic interview. Thank you so much.
Magical Mount Shasta.
That's right. All right. So it's goodbye from us, from Universal Soul Love. Goodbye. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful life, and may you all ascend.
We'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love.